This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Matthias, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Hey, Gordon, how's it going?
It's going well, Doc. I'm just sort of checking the calendar and realizing we're kind of drifting into festive season, what is that silver behind your ear? Is that a little bit of tinsel? You've been doing the tree, Doc, or you're making a statement?
It's old age, Gordon. It's finally happened, eh? It's there. Yeah, Gordon. Well, you know, we certainly have had a very busy run of it. You know, we've doubled up in some of the weeks. We're into the last stretch of the year. And again, you know, some more interesting guests. And again, I'm going to leave you to introduce and welcome our guests. But again, you know, to our listeners out there, as we always say, be part of the conversation today. Again, lots of unpacking, lots of stuff to get through. So, yeah, let me hand it over to you to welcome our guests.
Yeah, we've got a very rich discussion today. We're talking about the release of the first real sort of main tranche of information from MAPS, from the MRF. So there's a lot of detail to talk about. We won't be able to get through all of that, but we've got with us, unfortunately not in studio, but through the miracle of Zoom, Johan Koster, who's the CEO of the Market Research Foundation, and Marie Rousseau, who tells me her title is project manager, but I think, you know, for me, I think I would address her, especially after watching this series, The Crown, after all her years in this project, I think we just address her as Mom or Your Majesty, one of those two. Project manager to fit, quite frankly. But Johan and Marie, welcome. Nice to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us here.
Thanks, Doc. Thanks, Gordon. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Marie, maybe let me just toss this one at you to start with. Lots of new stuff to talk about with the latest full kind of release or wave of MAPS data. But just for those listeners who are not familiar with the journey, can we just take a step back, give us the context for MRF, Market Research Foundation, and MAPS, and the journey from what I guess around about 2016 or so. Just a brief intro so that the listeners can catch up with us.
Okay, so the brief intro is that we never lost sight of the loss of the research. We always plan to come back into research to replace the AMPs. So we have re-engineered the AMPs. It is modernized and it is so rich with data. It is unbelievable. You can sit and work on it for a year without even finding everything out that's in there. We obviously have a new research company, Plus 94, young, very dynamic company. We're very happy with it. And the results are awesome in MAPS. I can't say enough of all the data that's in there. Do you want to know how we do the field work?
I think the field work will be of interest, and particularly just talk a bit about the benefits of the rolling database, because in the past we've sort of, you know, dipped in and out, big 6 months dip in and then you dip out again and you dip back in. But this rolling wave principle, I think, is also of interest.
Okay, so what we've done is, instead of coming back every 6 months, we have constant research out in field throughout the year, and we release the data every quarter, adding it up into a 12-month rolling data set. Then after that first 12 months, we drop off the old quarter, we add the new quarter, so you constantly have new data out in the field. It's much more fresh, and this also allows us to create a tracking study so that we'll be able to look at the quarters individually if you particularly want to track one or two or whatever items you wish to.
Yeah, that's a very sexy addition to the model, that sort of year-on-year tracking, because we've talked often on the show about the impossibility really of trending over any length of period, but year-on-year is definitely something that we're all used to reporting on. And then also the big shift, you know, towards the coping in COVID, you had this combination of CAPI and a much bigger leave behind diary. The old leave behind diary, I think, only used to do product information, but I think it's expanded now as well.
Yes, it is, very much so. We now use tablet assisted interviews, which are geocoded. That is where our geocoding comes from, because each interview is pegged at the geospatial point. We do a face-to-face, about 45 minutes to an hour of 45 face-to-face questions. Then we have the leave behind in two formats. We've got a leave behind in the paper format and an electronic version. So the people being interviewed have a choice of whether they want to do the electronic version or the paper version. We have changed our format for the products. It's no longer black and white logos. It is now pack shots, full color pack shots, so that you get a better brand recognition and product recognition. We have also added a huge bank of behavioral questions to the back of that questionnaire, so that we're now starting to get incredible insights into people's behavior.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Doc, this sort of ID, packaging ID, is going to be a lot better. I think some of the original, going back to the original Levi's on AMS questionnaires, I think had sort of black and white logo drawings. It was that primitive. So I think that is a huge improvement in that regard. Just generally speaking, thinking of the clients that you're dealing with and your subscribers, how are they able to correlate this back to their own kind of sales information? Are you getting any feedback from them in terms of a reasonable fit?
On our scrutiny team, we've got people that are very well versed in various levels of product usage and categories of product usage. And throughout that process, we have had correlation that we are in the ballpark.
Okay, so I mean that's crucial, Johanna. And I think maybe you comment here as well that obviously this is one of the benefits of being in a partnership, as it were, with the Marketing Association SA, that you've got representation from marketers in the front line, the action line, so to speak.
Absolutely, Gordon. I think the role that our subscribers play, and as well as their agencies, is vital for the overall health of MAP. So we involve them throughout the process and making sure that, you know, our scrutiny processes and release process, that you know, they're familiar with the data, they've had a chance to scrutinize it, to give their feedback, you know, whatever adjustments we need to make are incorporated and before we release the data. So that's a, you know, very collaborative process on our side in terms of working with the marketers and the agency.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys now about some of the big developments. Of course, the reason that we enjoy Sifiso Falala on the show from Plus 94 is that he is also a very dedicated Arsenal supporter. So we do like to keep a quality kind of profile to the station here. We don't want this being watered down with Eastern Cape rugby from the dock all the time. But just sorry, Doc, you love what sound like you were.
We've done pretty well, Gordon. I think we've had about at least 8 or 10 episodes where you haven't referenced Arsenal. So, that's not bad. Not bad. And I mean, I'm surprised you haven't commented about your mates down the road there at Spurs and their change of leadership again. But anyway, let's get back onto what you discussed.
Back on track. So, Johan Marie, take us through. I mean, there's so much detail, as you said. Take us through some of the big developments, this kind of the standout points of difference, and perhaps those areas now that you've got the full sample, which I think is of the order of about 20,000 now with the both waves combined. What are some of the things you can comment on now that you're a bit kind of nervous about commenting on just when you'd released that first sort of wave?
Thanks, Gordon. Maybe I can kick it off and then Marie can jump in. I think the important and exciting bit for us is that we now have that full 20,000 sample, 12 months worth of data. And as Marie has said, that's a continuous process of collecting that that data from consumers. You know, we never stop. We're in the field all the time, every month, every week. So this process is just continuously rolling and collecting insights and data from consumers. And I think the most important point to make here is that, you know, to understand where MAPS fits into the whole kind of data landscape. And MAPS is designed to be the kind of go-to information base for marketers and agencies when it comes to consumer behavior research. MAPS is not designed to be media research. It's designed to be consumer research, which happens to include how consumers consume brands and products that are also media. So I think that's an important point. That would form the base of your kind of your data strategy within organization. So MAPS is the starting point. You would get a kind of a strategic view of the country, of the lay of the land in terms of consumer behavior, and then maybe start delving deeper into your specific category or service area where your particular organization is active. As far as the insights are concerned, now that we have the full data set, I think we're very happy with the results that we've seen. It's, you know, it's a young survey. It's only a year old now. There was likely to be some things that we might not be 100% happy with. That is the case. There are some things that we think would still improve over time. But generally speaking, the health is very good. I think the picture we're getting from MAPS is very sound. It correlates well with other data sets that we see out there. And it's giving a very good 360 view of how consumers are behaving and making decisions and their lifestyles out there. So I think it's very rich and insightful information source for marketers. I think, you know, just kind of to give context, MAPS covers the market of consumers of 15 years and older. So everything we cite, all the stats and stuff we might cite in this episode is, put it in that context. It's 15 plus. It doesn't include people younger than 15 years old. And I think South Africa is a very young country. We all know this. About 50% of the population is younger than 35. If you go from 0 to 35 years old, you're almost at 2/3 of the population that falls within that bracket. So it's a very, very young country. Population is very young. Millennials and Generation X still dominate the population. About 84% of the population is millennial or Generation X. But we'll start seeing Generation Z coming through from next year because they start getting into that 15 plus age bracket. And we'll start seeing their interest in the market. And I think that would be very, very interesting. A lot of people find themselves in single-parent families, 31% of the population, single-parent families. 51% of the population have dependents, whether it's their own children or, you know, family or elderly or friends that they may be taking care of. And the average household income is quite stressed. About 67% of households have an income of less than 10,000 rand a year. So It's a young country and it's a poor country. And I think given the fact that there's so many single parents and dependents within the economy, there's quite a bit of stress on the consumer. And I think given the latest developments that we're seeing coming through in terms of the economy and supply chain problems, I think these kinds of problems would exacerbate that stress on the consumer. And you know, we hope to get through this unscathed, but I doubt that. I think there's going to be some massive impact on consumers out there. That's something to keep in mind. Interesting kind of context and base for any marketer operating in this country, kind of starting point in terms of how to approach the South African market. From interesting insights perspective, I think what's new in MAPS that is very interesting to us is the whole range of questions around consumer behavior and multi-platform consumption of the different media types. And it's really insightful to understand when, you know, we, for instance, ask the question, if you're watching television, what else are you doing? You know, what other media are you engaging with? And that's, you know, extremely insightful to see how many different types of media people are engaged with. We can see clearly from this data that we're getting out of MAPS that radio, for instance, is still the companion medium. It's everywhere. Everyone is, there's always a radio seems to be playing in the background, or whether they're driving in the car or watching the TV, you know, there's always radio in the background. But what is very interesting to me as well is the fact that when we ask people when they're watching TV, what else are they doing? 43% of them said they're also on social media. And I think that just shows kind of, and the inverse is also true. When you ask people if they are on social media, what else are they doing? 41% said they are also watching television. So I think it shows a very strong relationship between television and social media. It shows that the interactive component and the ability or the opportunity to kind of extract maximum exposure by combining television and social media. It also showed when you look at print media, for instance, and we know print has had a shorter time over the last year with COVID and all the restrictions and many publications closing down and now starting to open up again. But it also shows the strength of print in terms of holding attention. So when we ask people when they're reading a newspaper, for instance, what else are they engaged in? And yes, there's social media and radio in the background there, and they are engaging on those platforms also, but it's at a much, much lower level. So it shows us that, you know, when people are reading the newspaper, whether that's online or in paper form, they're very engaged and it really keeps their attention. So very, very interesting insights as far as media, you know, multi-platform kind of media consumption is concerned. Maybe Marie wants to talk about some of the behavioral stuff and the new questions around behavior and decision-making. Also very, very insightful.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Johan, thanks very much. Marie, if you don't mind, just before you get into that next section, I mean, just that whole multi-platform, and I found it interesting. I mean, years ago, we were talking about the whole second screen, and it's not just the screen now. You know, you've got your audio track, your constant companion. But you make the point, Johan, maybe, you know, some of those media types, and we know they're more actively engaged, like reading, versus a passive piece of content that's in the background. So, yeah, very interesting. And, you know, just, I mean, I was preparing for this podcast, reading through those stats, you know, Gordon, I thought back to years ago and we never termed it that. Certainly when we did our homework as kids at school, we always had the radio on in the background. So it was a constant companion, and today it's just, you know, in different guises and different forms. So yeah, you know, thanks for that. Sorry, Maria, I interrupted you as you were about to launch into your point.
No, that's fine.
The behavioral stuff, yeah, which is interesting because I think more and more planning, just to recap around that, and we saw that last week also with Monique from Klaassen's from Kantar, that, you know, it's not just enough to plan on the numbers, but you've got to plan on the impact of that tense of space with consumers. And that's why, Jan, just to quickly recap for Marie Chirps in there, that I like the way you phrase that. You're looking at how consumers consume medium rather than how many. How many is a currency issue. How is a planning issue. So I'm really keen to hear some of these behavioral insights from Marie.
And, very interesting, because we ask questions that have never been asked before. One of my favorites is how do you decide to get insurance, whether it's household or combined insurance or vehicle insurance? Who do you go to for your information? Where do you source your information? Do you speak to your family? Do you speak to your friends? Do you go to social media? I particularly expected social media to be top of the pops. It's actually not. Social media is not top of the pops. It is self-research. Self-research is top of the pop. So the people are inclined to go and research the company, research prices. We've also asked what would make you make a decision in favor of any particular insurance company. Would it be price? Would it be reputation? That kind of stuff. So there's lots of information there that you could do there, find out there. We also do a self-perception bank of questions, which is very interesting because it gives you insight into how people see themselves. Normally, we don't ask. People don't ask, how do you see yourself? We presume. We make presumptions and not always accurate. When you see the results of how do you see yourself, same as parenting skills. Interesting that the parenting skills, the parents from the lower income groups do not see themselves as good parents, and they also do not view themselves as very healthy, which is also, we pulse about health, self-perception on your health. We have pulsed on a consumer, how you buy clothing. Is there a difference between purchasing for yourself, your partner, or your children? Yes, there is. There are differences in where you would go. Would you go to a branded store for yourself and go to the sales for your children? And that seems to be borne out within that. Obviously, our geo maps is very important too, because we then start putting, with the shopping patterns, we start putting the malls together with that.
Yeah, that geo maps thing is interesting.
Geo maps, yes, we can now take it down. Geo maps, Africa Scope, our partner, takes it down to suburb level so that you can actually now target down to suburb level.
So just a quick question on that. I mean, how big are those samples? How many communities can we get down to? And if there's a community I want to get, which I can't locate in maps, can I chat to Africa Scope to enhance the lens in that one particular community? Can they enrich the data at a community level if we did some sort of data fusion there?
Yes, they can do that. They can enrich that. Plus, they can overlay any of your own bespoke research as well over the maps into a geospatial map. Very interesting thing.
Yeah. So again, we'll talk a little bit now about fusion and where we go going forward. One of the big issues, Marie, you talked about the journey from AMPS through to MAPS. It's not been a journey that has always been the happiest of journeys, but it's a journey nevertheless that's taken place. So there was some hope, I think, fairly recently, maybe the back end of last year, that we'd find some resolution to the issue of LSM and versus the SEM segmentation. I say versus, but in truth, SEM uses nine of the 14 variables of LSM anyway, so they're a lot closer than many people might think. Is there any development on the LSM-SEM segmentation front towards having a more consistent socioeconomic tool, given the case of SEM, where it's used as a rim weighting for television audience? So whatever we look at, you know, digital media, traditional media, television is still central to it and becoming even more central. Is there any development on the LSM-SEM segmentation thing in terms of a bit of a two-nardering there?
I'm going to hand that one over to Johan.
So, Gordon, there are plans around that. And I think the difficulty was that we didn't have a full data set and a full sample size of maps. So we couldn't really establish what the shortcomings of LSMs were and, you know, what the strengths of it are and how SEMs are still performing in modern times. You know, it's also been 5 or 6 years since it's been developed. So we need to kind of engage with those two tools and understand exactly how well they work. And then there's the point that the SEMs are, I think, quite well entrenched on the media buying and media planning side, but maybe not so much with the marketers or the advertisers, who many of whom still use LSMs in terms of their own strategic kind of targeting and planning and all of that. So I think what we are trying to achieve is to collaborate with all the other joint industry committees and have talks with them, look at, I think there's a general acceptance that neither LSMs or SEMs are any longer ideal. Which road we take going forward, whether that requires us kind of updating the SEMs or, you know, a new version of the LSMs is still in talks. Our personal feeling as the MRF is that, you know, SEMs are not really entrenched. The LSMs are a bit long in the tooth. There's so much happening on a technology front in terms of machine learning and artificial intelligence. And we've seen many international developments now around socioeconomic segmentation and all of that, that perhaps the time is right for something completely new and more adaptive to the South African environment and specific to the South African environment that will stand the test of time, you know, using things like machine learning and artificial intelligence. So we've been working with the Bureau of Market Research on a kind of concept and a model that we think might work. It's up to us to now have those engagements with the other industry bodies and having those discussions around how we roll that out, if we roll it out, and, you know, how we can kind of try and entrench that in the market.
Yeah, that BMR model, which, if I'm not mistaken, was released or discussed at PAMRO fairly recently, was very, very interesting. It's a very sexy planning tool. How one would migrate that to media would be the challenge, but it certainly had a lot going for it in the sense that it had an element, if I recall the paper correctly, of sort of engagement, which was interesting. So it wasn't just a static photograph. It's almost like a little video clip of your level of engagement with the economy, not just how much money you had potentially to engage, which I thought was kind of interesting. I ask these questions because one of the most important white papers to come out of the industry in the last year was from the World Federation of Advertisers in terms of cross-media measurement. And there is a very, very specific expectation there that what they call the buy side and the sell side, media owners and agency planners, should consolidate and come with a common view. And that common view would include a common view of what constitutes listening, viewing, reading, et cetera. Plus, there's an expectation that there should be common definitions on target market. So, you know, that's the North Star that they were referencing. It's definitely a most important kind of game for us in town. Doc, I mean, you've planned it, you know, high-level sort of macro planning right down to detailed behavioral planning. I mean, how do you kind of interface with data from a marketer's perspective? How do you extract the high-level stuff with the nuance of this, but the personalized stuff?
Yeah, Gordon, I think, you know, and we've spoken about that before, and as marketing and markets become more complex, and you've made the comment around, you know, the deficiencies in certainly LSM and perhaps to a degree also SEM, socioeconomic measures as well. Gordon, I've always relied on specialists, and I think the big thing for me, you know, is to try and take the clutter out of it, you know, in other words, And this is, I'm going to go answer your question correctly now, but just to marketers listening out there, be part of this conversation, get onto the site, download the latest data. But this is the answer to you. Don't just download the data. Work through it. Work through it with your agencies. Work through it with your creative guys. I've made the point so many times, Gordon, is that it's that collaboration. You know, as things become more complicated, you need more collaboration. You need more care and understanding. You know, gone are the days, and I can be honest with you, many days I would sit through research presentations where the guys would lose me in the first few slides because they presented badly. And I just didn't buy into it. You know what I mean? And then they got muddled up in it and it was dysfunctional. You can't afford that. The creative guys need to understand it. They very rarely sat in those meetings. That was more the media and the strategists. I'm advocating now that people sit together and understand the data and pull it apart. Marketing, as we've spoken before on shows, is in a quandary, Gordon. People are saying, but you guys are not a scientific discipline. You know how to function. You're all over the place. And I think, to me, the big challenge is, you know, if I could do it again, in other words, my career, I would almost insist on more collaboration, and I do it earlier in the process. And that's, you know, that's my take on the thing.
Yeah, so I mean, collaboration, that's a good point to throw the next question at Johanna and Marie. I mean, I thought your reference to muddled up and dysfunctional initially, I thought you were talking about Spurs, but I suddenly realized you weren't actually talking about Spurs at that point. So just a quick question, Johanna. I mean, at the end of the day, I think one of the points that certainly your industry trade communication has emphasized is single source data. And yet, if we look at initiatives around the world, if we look at the paper presented at PAMRO recently out of the Netherlands on the National Media Onderzoek, there's a recognition that it's impossible for one study to do everything. And that's why the Cross-Media Measurement North Star Initiative is there to provide consistent definitions. So as long as we have a consistent definition of what constitutes a viewer or a market segment in survey X, Y, or Z, we can move around these surveys using data fusion, or I think the phrase which I enjoyed from Monique Larson's last week was something like lookalike audiences. So is there a recognition going forward that the market's so complex, maps can't do it all? I mean, what's your view on fusion versus just a pure standalone single source data?
Well, Gordon, I think maps was never designed to be the answer to everything. It is single source in the sense that the data is sourced from one household, and it gives you it covers all the basics in terms of everything from products and brand services, media consumption, lifestyle, behavior, decision making, all of those things. So in that sense, it's single source, but it's not intended to replace the role that currencies play, because currencies have a very important role and it's very specific to that media or medium in terms of doing specific research then providing the kind of specifics that you need to determine return on investment and all of that, and doing detailed planning and all of that. So maps is designed to kind of be the base, as I said earlier, onto which everything else can hook. So you would kind of get a big picture lay of the land, develop your strategy, have a good understanding of your consumer or your target market from maps, and from there move on into the currencies to look at detailed planning around purchasing media or rolling out new products and services and all of those things. So our position in terms of that is definitely we agree that there should be standardization across the industry. As a matter of fact, we've had all the joint industry committees responsible for all the other research, we've had a meeting to start talks around that, to look at standardizing definitions and working towards that kind of common goal, even having a standard set of questions that's common to all of these other surveys, so that if the time comes and when we need to do fusion, we are able to do that efficiently and quickly. So there's definitely support from us in terms of standardization. There's support from us in terms of fusion as possibly arriving at a data set that provides more answers. Our view is that maps should be kind of the base of that fusion effort. But we also think that fusion should happen within, it should be organized, and there's some criteria that should govern how fusion is done. We can't just have all kinds of little bits and pieces being fused together and think that will create an accurate picture. Space and time, I think, in terms of what we've seen develop now with COVID and how people's behavior has shifted, space and time becomes extremely important when you fuse. You can't have a bit of data that's 2 years old fused with a bit of data that's 3 months old fused with another bit of data that's 1 day old. The relevance of all of that, you need to put that in context and understand exactly what has changed over time and how fusible these data sets are. So I think that's also important for us, to have a strong set of criteria around fusion.
Yeah, I'm just going, speaking of time, I'm conscious of the limitations of Zoom, but I do like that space and time, yes. I think that as a dimension beyond the normal hooks of demographics, et cetera, makes an awful lot of sense. So just a last quick question as we move into wrap up. How do I get hold of the insights? I mean, I think a lot of those presentations are downloadable. And then do I have to be a member of the MASA to be a data user? How do I subscribe? Just a quick wrap on that, and then I'm going to leave it to the doc to close us off.
Gordon, all our presentations and videos of the presentations are available on our website, mrssa.org.za. If there are any questions around that, and if anyone is interested, want more detail, they can always contact us at mrs@mrssa.co.za. subscription, accessing maps is a subscription model. So you kind of pay an annual subscription to access the data. The core, our core target market is marketers and advertisers. They subscribe and then they give access to their agencies. But we've also got options available for other parties who also want to, you know, like media owners and research companies, they can also approach us to access the data and we can work out something with it. So, yeah, no, it's all on the website and or otherwise contact us if you have more questions.
Great. Thanks, Johan. Thanks, Marie. And again, you know, Gordon, as we say every week to our listeners out there, you know, be part of it, be part of the conversation, get involved, go onto the website, educate yourself, interrogate the data. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And yeah, enrich yourself and come out better on the other side. Johan, Marie, thanks from my side. I'm going to leave Gordon to just close us out today. But thanks. I really appreciate your time and effort to be with us. I'll leave it to Gordon.
Yeah, guys, thanks. Yeah, thanks, Marie, for joining us. Fantastic. The only stat of which I completely and utterly disagree with you is that 100% of the population has dependents, and they are called politicians. And I'll leave you with that.
Gordon, thank you so much for having us.
Okay. Yeah, listeners, thanks for joining us, everyone. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks
so much. Okay. Thanks.
Have
a good day. Bye. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And so that was another episode of The Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views and certainly will respond. And hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc. And it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia. And I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo. And we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.